Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday, December 2nd. Great to be with you on a Tuesday and every day here at EWTN's Catholic Connection. We have a great rundown for you, as we say in the biz. First, I want to thank Ace McKay, one of our ace producers. I'm sure he hasn't heard that before. Filling in for Richard Jesse, my EP executive producer, who is on, as I said yesterday, a well-deserved vacation this week. And Tom Price will be back producing tomorrow. But Tom is also going to have another role today where he joins us at 16 minutes past the hour, right after we go through all the news and the weather and talk about the Pope's trip, which is wrapping up as we speak, by the way. Tom is going to be discussing with us, you don't want to miss this, EWTN's special Advent programming. So, you know, I was giving you several different resources for Advent. Well, this will be another opportunity. I'm old school. If you have a pen and pencil, a pad, take some notes. Or if you have your phone, jot it down. Or if you're by your computer, you can always go to EWTN.com. But there may be something special in which you're interested that Tom mentions. And I always just find it helpful. Again, I'm old school, to jot things down to, you know, jog my memory if I forget what I'm supposed to be watching or listening to on EWTN. But EWTN.com overall, Tom will dive into it a little bit more deeply. So that'll be a lot of fun because there's so much great programming all the time at EWTN. Of course, I may be somewhat biased, but it's a great resource for all things faith. And especially during the various liturgical seasons, we have a team around the world, literally. That's no exaggeration. And so they're bringing you all kinds of special Catholic events, whether it's a mass or at the conference or, of course, the Pope's apostolic journey to Turkey and Lebanon, whatever it is. But when you get to this time of year, in addition to everything that we're covering, there's also special programming matching the liturgical season. So I'm excited to hear about this. I'm sure you will be too. Tom Price joining us, and that's at 16 minutes past the hour. Then I'm also so excited to sit down for two segments with a wonderful bishop, Bishop Kevin Rhodes from the Diocese of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he's going to be with us to talk about the planned consecration of the United States to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This was confirmed at the recent Bishops' Conference, and this is for our 250th anniversary of the United States of America. God bless America. And so the bishop will be along with us to talk about that. And then I'm sure we'll talk about all good things going on in his wonderful diocese in Indiana, his reaction to the youth conference that was a huge success, and whatever's on his heart as we are moving through Advent. Maybe some advice on how to really make the most of the Advent season. So it should be a lot of fun. I hope you can stay tuned for the entire first hour. We'll mention the second hour as we get closer to that time frame. So again, at about 16 minutes past the hour, we'll have special event programming with our own Tom Price from EWTN Radio. And then, as I mentioned, Bishop Kevin Rhodes will be joining us. So let's take a look at the weather. There are some issues, brothers and sisters, let me tell you. A winter storm to impact the northern mid-Atlantic and interior northeast. And then the National Weather Service is always saying heavy rain in the southeast. Okay, so here's more details. A storm system will bring a variety of hazards to the eastern part of the country. The National Weather Service saying wintry precipitation expected from the central Appalachians to the northeast. Heavy snow expected for interior New England and the northern mid-Atlantic through the night. And icing will continue in the Appalachians throughout the morning this morning. On the south side of the system, heavy rain and thunderstorms persisting across the southeast. So there you have it. Hopefully you don't have to go anywhere if you're in those effective areas. And I said yesterday, if you look at the National Weather Service map of the U.S., it looks very Advent-y, if that's a word, because it's all purple. But that apparently is not good news. I have to call my friend Chuck Attica to get more specific about that. Anyhow, I digress. It's a Tuesday morning, and we so appreciate your listenership here at EWTN. It is 4 minutes past the hour now on a Tuesday, second Tuesday, of course. Well, actually, the first Tuesday of Advent for 2025. Let's see what's happening in the news here on the EWTN Radio Network. Well, for his last event on the first full day in Lebanon, the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, a meeting with young people in an area northeast of Beirut last night, the event, given the size of the crowd, it was so large that some are saying the 15,000 attending could be described as a mini World Youth Day. It began with the testimonies of volunteers and young people before two children or young people asked the Holy Father questions. He reminded those involved in the Q&A, similar to the National Catholic Youth Conference, that they are the present and the future, and that they are the ones who can change the course of history. Evil, he said, is not the antidote to evil, but rather the answer is love. The witness of the four testimonies, he said, are prophecies of a new future that will be ushered in through reconciliation and mutual help.
Lebanon's history is interwoven with glorious moments, but it is also marked by deep wounds that are slow to heal. These wounds have causes that transcend national borders and are intertwined with very complex social and political dynamics. Dear young people, perhaps you regret inheriting a world torn apart by wars and disfigured by social injustice. Yet there is hope, and there is hope within you. You have a gift that many times we adults seem to have lost. You have hope. You have time. You have more time to dream, to plan, and to do good.
The Holy Father also reminding the young people of the examples of Saints Pierre Giorgio Frassati, Carlo Acutis, and the many Lebanese saints such as Saint Rafka, Blessed Yaqub El-Haddad, and Saint Charbel. In a world overwhelmed with distractions, the Pope encouraged young people to take time each day to close your eyes and look only at God. Though he may seem quiet, Pope Leo stressing God speaks to those who look for him in the silence. Closing, the Holy Father highlighting the beauty that many young people carry a rosary with them. He urged them to keep St. Francis of Assisi's prayer for peace. Lord, make me an instrument in their hearts and minds to keep Christian enthusiasm alive within them. And kicking off his third day in Lebanon, the final day of the journey, the Holy Father spent yesterday morning visiting, or actually this morning, visiting Lakhori Hospital, one of the largest mental disability hospitals in the Middle East. Founded back in 1919 by Blessed Father Jacques Haddad, it was converted into a psychiatric hospital back in 1937 and later into a hospital for people with mental disabilities in 1951. Reflecting on the founding of the hospital, the Holy Father recalling that Father Jacques, as a tireless apostle of charity, remembered for the holiness of life that he showed, especially through his love for the poor and the suffering. Pope Leo thanking those sisters and the entire hospital staff for their dedication to the mission. He also stressed that the staff are a tangible sign of the merciful love of Jesus. And before taking off for Rome at Beirut's airport, the Holy Father concludes his apostolic journey to Turkey and Lebanon, calling for dialogue, fraternity, and reconciliation across the Middle East, and expressing his hope that those who currently consider themselves enemies may embrace the spirit of fraternity and commitment to peace. And by the way, the Holy Father is set to depart from Beirut this afternoon with a scheduled arrival at Rome's Fiumicino Airport in just about 45 minutes. In other news this morning, Monica Nelson tells us the second National Guard member shot near the White House last week is now showing signs of improvement.
The governor of West Virginia confirmed Monday that Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is now out of a medically induced coma. The suspect in the shooting is an Afghan national who worked with U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He was injured in the incident and remains hospitalized, facing first-degree murder and other related charges for the death of Wolf's colleague, Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom. I'm Monica Nelson.
In California, Stockton's mayor there thinks gang violence is behind the weekend shooting that left four people dead and another 11 injured at a child's birthday party. The suspects have not been charged, and the mayor told a local TV station, KTLA, people are afraid to talk about gang members.
We know that people know. I've received calls from people that say, oh, but I don't want my name mentioned. And I said, come on, you got to do the right thing. You have to tell the authorities what you know.
Law enforcement is saying that they have stopped short of calling it a gang killing, but they do say it was a targeted attack. Of the four people who were killed on Saturday night, three of them were children. One of the 11 injured survivors is a child who remains in critical condition. The Texas Education Commissioner has been meeting with leaders of Turning Point USA in an effort to create more chapters in the state's high schools. Conservatives in the Lone Star State say this would go a long way toward fighting against liberal bias in their schools.
We need kids to think about weighing all sides of the argument so that they can come up with the best answers.
Sherry Sylvester with the Texas Public Policy Foundation adding this will create more well-informed adults.
If something doesn't feel right to you, you examine why that is, and you make the person you're arguing with explain it to you.
And she adds, it will also teach children to question what liberals are teaching them and have been feeding them in the schools. Meanwhile, dozens of new laws are going into effect into Texas this week, including an important bathroom bill. It's a Texas Women's Privacy Act, which conservatives have been pushing for the last 10 years.
Worked on for about the last 8 years, so definitely a huge victory.
That's Mary Elizabeth Castle with Texas Values, who says the bill slaps limits on women's restrooms and locker rooms, restricting them based on biological sex. The fine starting at $25,000, and they go up to $125,000. And a federal appeals court has ruled that President Trump's former personal lawyer, Alina Habba, is unlawfully serving as U.S. attorney for New Jersey, a lower court's findings upheld by a panel of three judges yesterday. The panel saying the government's theory that Habba can serve as the de facto U.S. attorney indefinitely is so broad that it bypasses the constitutional process entirely. She was named interim U.S. attorney for New Jersey earlier this year, an appointment that expired after 120 days, but the case may end up going to the Supreme Court. And speaking of the High Court heard arguments yesterday in a case over music piracy that could have a major impact on internet users. Attorney Joshua Rosenkrantz is representing Cox Communications, the largest private broadband company in the nation. He started off with how the case ended up in the High Court.
The Fourth Circuit held that a provider of basic communications infrastructure to millions of homes and businesses can be held liable because it did not kick enough accused infringers off the internet.
Record companies accuse Cox of not taking reasonable steps to prevent illegal music distribution. The court is weighing just how much liability internet service providers have for piracy carried out over their networks. Cox arguing that if the standard is too strict, it would have no choice but to disconnect many homes, hospitals, hotels, and more simply because of an accusation against one user at a specific IP address. And Jim Roop tells us Pinterest is backing a bill that would require app stores to verify the age of users.
The company joins Meta, X, and Snapchat in endorsing the App Store Accountability Act and urges Congress to pass the law. The act would shift the responsibility of age verification to app stores like those offered by Apple and Google, while the two tech giants argue the app developers are better equipped to handle age verification. Pinterest endorses the legislation as it is among a series of child online safety-related bills set to be considered by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Jim Roop.
And Chicago, St. Louis, and the Motor City of Detroit could get even more snow after a Thanksgiving weekend storm smacked the area.
The weekend winter wallop that buried the Midwest now wreaking havoc on post-holiday travel.
Sat there for about 4 or 5 hours, and then they said they just couldn't make it out.
I missed my kids and my husband back home in South Carolina.
At Chicago's O'Hare Sunday, more than 1,700 flights delayed.
Reporter Maggie Vespa saying that yesterday there were at least 1,000 flight delays and cancellations nationwide. 3 to 5 inches of snow could also fall in the area north of Missouri to northern Illinois. It is a Tuesday morning. It's December 2nd. Great to have you with us here on EWTN's Catholic Connection. And we've got some great information on some great programming for Advent. Stay tuned. Wrapping it up today, heading back to Rome as we speak, encourage young people to, and I love this quote, take time each day to close your eyes and look only at God. Though he may seem quiet, Pope Leo stressed that God speaks to those who look at him in the silence. Tom Price is in studio with us this morning from EWTN Radio. Tom, as I was reading this story this morning, I was thinking obviously about Advent. I don't know if that's what the Pope had on his mind, but it certainly is a very, I think, apropos for Advent, especially, I think, all the programming that we have to help people really slow down during this period. Thanks for joining us.
I'm delighted to let you know about some of the wonderful programming coming up on EWTN Radio. This is something that we love doing. But I must say, T, regarding the Pope, We don't like silence around here. Not on radio.
In other words, it's dead air.
not so much. Not so much. But peace and solitude, absolutely. Because the world.
But it helps you slow down and listen, I think, was the point he was trying to make.
As we were talking about before, during the break, the world comes at us. And, if it's not advertising, it's a million parties and, you know, you can't walk through a store without being bombarded by all this stuff. So let's just calm down a little bit.
Yeah. So how does EWTN Radio decide what is going to be featured for these different liturgical seasons, especially something as important as preparing for Christmas during Advent?
Well, T, I've been here for a long time since, back in the day, I reported directly to Mother Angelica. And so from that day to this day, we have been building upon, we'll find a show and, this is good. And then, the next year, here's two more shows. And so we've slowly over the years have been able to build up to the point of today where we can present a whole bunch of programming that is appropriate for Advent and that is appropriate for Christmas. We'll talk about that a little later.
Sure. And so in terms of the schedule, is it starting to run now because we are in the first week of Advent?
Yes. We kicked it off on Sunday with our Advent reflections. These were recorded on the island of Donegal, or Pilgrimage Island. We had a number of Irish priests doing half-hour Advent reflections, and we're airing those every Sunday from now on, all the way through Advent at 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So that was cool. That's been something that we've been doing for many years on radio and television. And then beyond that, we've also, as we're getting closer and closer to Christmas, we're adding more and more. One of the programs I enjoy putting together every year is what we call the EWTN Radio Christmas Card, which is music of the season, along with our special greetings to listeners around the world. Each of our producers, like our producer this morning, Ace McKay, Tom Gray, me, Jack Williams, all the people that are, working behind the scenes with their individual greetings and reflections, along with music of the season.
That is so fun. When is that airing?
That's going to air starting this Sunday at noon and 7 p.m. Eastern. It'll air again on Saturday, December 13th at 7 a.m. Eastern, and it'll air a couple of times on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Okay, without a spoiler, maybe a little spoiler alert, but can you give us an idea of what your favorite music is or what you're going to be telling the folks in the Christmas greeting?
I love it all, and I'm a little bit partial, as you might imagine, to the more sacred music. Obviously, there's not a whole lot you can do with Advent itself, but you can feature music that's a little more serious. You're not going to hear about Grandma and Reindeers on this network. No. So you'll
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Please no. Please God.
We're not
no.
going there.
Yeah.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. No. Mm-hmm. Not going to do that. But so it'll be festive, but it'll also see the solemnity of all this. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about it. One of the other let me just jump in.
Sure, go ahead.
One of the other programs that we're going to air on Sunday, December 7th, this coming Sunday, a special edition of Mother Angelica Answering the Call. And if you've ever heard this program, this is Doug Keck and Father Joseph setting up various clips of Mother Angelica. We've been airing this for years, but we've got an Advent special this weekend where Mother explains why we need to slow down and reflect on the birth of Christ. Again, setting aside all the manic and going with the sacred. And that's going to be Sunday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome. I was just going to remind our listeners that we are speaking with our very own Tom Price from EWTN Radio about our Radio Advent programming, which is going on, actually began on Sunday and, of course, running through the end of Advent. Is this fun for you to work on?
I love it. I absolutely love it because, it's just a super time of the year and a time where we can kind of showcase some of the wonderful programming that we bring you all year long, but in this, you know, in this season, Advent specific or Christmas specific, like what we're going to be bringing you, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. We're going to bring you Christ is Born to Save, Christmas with the Dominican Friars, the music of the Schola Cantorum of the Dominican Friars in D.C.
Wow.
That's going to be fantastic. That'll be Saturday, December 13th at 3 p.m. Eastern. And your buddy, Father John Ricardo, Unpacking the Mysteries of Advent. And that's going to be Saturday, December 13th at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Awesome.
So there you go.
All right, so where can we find all these great things that are coming up on the radio schedule for Advent?
If you go to EWTN.com/radio and then look for the box that says schedules, and then at the top of that page, the schedules page, you'll see a box that says Advent, and that has everything that we're going to be doing. You know, posted in Eastern time, you can do the conversion on your own, and that'll lay it all out. From, you know, this day all the way till Christmas Eve, when we begin something very special.
Yeah, and then maybe we can talk about that in a future, future date, because that's really important as well. So again, it's EWTN.com/radio and then go to schedules, right?
Yep, that'll get you there.
Easy peasy. What I love about this is it's very purposeful for people, because sometimes, as you said, the world is being thrown at us and we're going 160 miles an hour, and we're trying to balance everything between family and work and getting ready for the various events. And Advent can be a really busy time for people with different school activities for the kids and grandkids, different parties, as you were mentioning during the break, how you and Adrienne try to limit it to one Advent party a season, which I think is awesome, because it really helps you slow down that way. And so it's nice to not have to go all over the place and say, what am I going to do for Advent? What's going to help me calm down, right?
Absolutely. When you listen to a program like the musical Reflections on the True Meaning of Christmas with Anthony Coniglio, that's going to be coming up. Or Advent at Ephesus with the with the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, there in Gower, Missouri. We were blessed to visit them last year or 2 years ago. Their music is just absolutely fantastic. We're going to bring on Dr. Ray. His program.
Oh, well, you just ruined it for me now.
I'm
sorry. What is going on with that? You threw him in the mix? Come on, Mamma Mia.
Well, he's going to do on that show what he did on your show last week, which is giving you tips on how to stay focused on Christ during this hectic time.
I have to tease him. He teases me all the time. I never get the chance. So I'm just, you know, we love each other very much. We're like the brother and sister in the back of the car.
Listen,
Mom, he's touching me. Move over. Get off my lawn.
You've got to pray for me. He's in town all week. He's doing television. He's going to be doing an audiobook narration. So I have to deal with him, you know, up close and personal. So pray for me.
Though. Think about all the time off of purgatory you're getting.
That's the only thing.
I'm thinking that's got to be 10 years right there, just for dealing
with it for a week.
At least.
It's the only thing that keeps me going from today to tomorrow.
Tom, great to have you on the air. Tomorrow you'll be behind the scenes again. Tom Price from EWTN Radio with our great Advent programming. Don't forget, EWTN.com/radio. Go to schedules and you have everything you need for a beautiful, peaceful Advent. Compliments of our wonderful team here at EWTN. We'll be right back. First week of Lent, it's December 2nd, and what an honor of blessing to catch up with an amazing bishop in the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, His Excellency Bishop Kevin Rhodes. And he's going to share some great news with us, good news, of course, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, more specifically about a special consecration that is going to happen next year for the 250th birthday of the United States of America, involving the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is such a powerful image. Your Excellency, happy Advent. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Thanks for having me.
It's great to catch up with you again. Appreciate your time. I know you're busy. Well, first of all, you're back in Fort Wayne, South Bend. I understand the weather is a little bit dicey there, though. A lot of snow again. How's it going there?
Yes. I always get a lot of snow in South Bend, but we have probably about 6 inches in Fort Wayne, where I'm at right now. But it's beautiful. I love the snow.
Yeah. Well, it's a very pretty time of year to have that kind of snow. So just keep, we want to keep you safe, and of course, all of your wonderful pilgrims there in that area. So let's talk about the consecration. I know it was confirmed at the bishop's event last month. So tell us about it. What does it mean, and how excited are you about this?
Yes, we, I was chair of the USCCB Committee on Religious Liberty. Mm-hmm. We were charged with kind of taking the lead on how we would celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States. So we had many ideas, and one of the ideas was to consecrate our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we proposed that at the meeting in Baltimore, and the bishops enthusiastically approved. So I was very happy. And it's an opportunity for us to have a spiritual dimension to the celebration of our nation's 250th anniversary. And what better way than to consecrate our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Now, I know that really you're, of course, involved in the Religious Liberty Commission for the president and on the advisory board. Has there been a response from the White House or from the administration regarding this happening next year?
No, we haven't had any communication about that, because during the government shutdown, the Religious Liberty Commission wasn't really meeting. So I'm sure the next meeting it will come up.
Now, what's really beautiful about this is the bishops are preparing, helping Catholics prepare for the consecration. What will be happening over the next couple of months in order to help us get ready for this beautiful event?
Yes, the USCCB, especially the Religious Liberty Commission, will be preparing materials, especially prayer resources, all centered on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And these resources can be used by dioceses, by parishes, other groups, just to engage our people, and also individuals. You know, it will be a wonderful opportunity for people to grow in their devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus as the ultimate symbol of his love for us, his human love and divine love, which is, that was actually the theme of Pope Francis's fourth and final encyclical. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people have read it, but it really is beautiful. And it goes through the history of the Sacred Heart devotion and then applies how this is still relevant and important today, that we contemplate our Lord's love. And incidentally, Pope Leo XIV, in his first apostolic exhortation, De Lexite, really followed up on what Pope Francis wrote about and stressed how it's the love of Christ that moves us to mission in our world today, in our suffering world today, and certainly in the United States, to move us to bring the values of the gospel and the liberating message of Christ and the unity. The Sacred Heart is a wellspring of unity and peace, Pope Francis taught, and that's certainly needed in our world today.
Do you think more people in the Catholic Church, more Catholic families, it kind of fell by the wayside a little bit? I mean, for example, we had a lot of issues during, you know, the 60s and the 70s with the rosary being somewhat, you know, put on the back burner by some in the church. And the Sacred Heart image of Jesus is such a powerful one. I grew up with it, and our family always had the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus around. So it's very important to me and my husband. But do you think more people, this will help more people embrace this image? Because it's very important. Mother Angelica always talked about having these holy images in our homes.
Yeah, that's my hope. I mean, it's such a rich devotion. Like you, I was raised with that. For example, the enthronement of the image of the mm-hmm. Sacred Heart of mm-hmm. Jesus in the home for families. And I think that I would love to see a comeback of that, because even in my own life since childhood, you know, one of my favorite prayers is the litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
For me, it's my favorite litany. And I would love that to be prayed more, especially during holy hours or just individually. There's just so much rich truth and theology behind devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that's my hope. You know, I see all this as providential. Let me, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention Brother Columba O'Neill. As Bishop of Fort Wayne, South Bend, we've begun the process for canonization of a Holy Cross brother at Notre Dame. He was a humble cobbler. I won't go through his whole life, we don't have time, but he would give out the Sacred Heart badges and to those who came to his shoe shop at Notre Dame, and a lot of healing started to take place, a lot of graces and miracles, and he became renowned in the United States. And then he was kind of forgotten for many decades, and he died in 1923. But anyhow, we've just begun this, and I already see at Notre Dame a growing devotion to the Sacred Heart and of course they have the Basilica of the Sacred Heart of Jesus at Notre Dame. There was great devotion by the missionaries who came from France, the Holy Cross priests, so, and brothers and sisters. So anyhow, it just seemed providential to me. I'm bishop here, and that there's this connection. And I just think this is a beautiful time for us to consecrate our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, because and to entrust ourselves to the Lord and His love, and to then be inspired for our mission to spread the fire of God's love.
Absolutely. And I really hope, and you mentioned it briefly, Your Excellency, about the consecration of people of their homes, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, the men of the Sacred Hearts have done such a great job with that all over the country. We had a big chapter in my home Archdiocese of Detroit, and we've had our home consecrated twice. You can actually get it reconsecrated. You can do it more than once. And it's so powerful to have that image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary in the home. And do you think this will maybe raise awareness on the consecration, do you think?
I think so, because one of the things of the resources that we're going to be developing will include materials for families. And what a great way to bring about unity in the home. And I think having that reminder of the image of the Sacred Heart in the home is powerful.
That's beautiful. Okay, we've got one more segment. So Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana, is with us talking mainly about the consecration of our country to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which will be taking place next year for the 250th anniversary. Very exciting. And my spiritual director always says, all things Christ, all things Christ. And this is a great way. And let me tell you, having those images in your home, as Mother Angelica always told us, it does make a difference. It really does. And if you haven't had your home consecrated yet, please think and pray about it. It's extremely beautiful and powerful. More with His Excellency, Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana. We'll be right back. Conversation about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen. Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana, serving in many roles, of course, the Bishop of Fort Wayne, South Bend, and also with the Religious Liberty Commission Advisory Board for President Donald Trump, and also with the USCCB Religious Committee there as well, and fresh off the meeting in November. Very exciting times with the consecration of our nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus taking place next year. So what does that mean, and what will that look like? I mean, from a practical perspective, how does that work, Your Excellency?
Yes, when the bishops, when we gather in June for our spring meeting, we'll be in Orlando, Florida, and that's where we will actually pray together the act of consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's really for our nation. When we think about it, the whole idea, we talk about our own individual consecration or consecration of the family. So someone will say, well, what does it mean to consecrate our nation? It basically means that we're entrusting our nation to the love and the care of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it also, it's an opportunity to remind us of what is our place as Catholics within this nation. We know about our immigrant ancestors and their integration into the U.S. society, but also the great contributions of the Catholic Church to the United States. We see the works of charity and mercy, the hospitals, the schools, the orphanages, all of that was motivated by the love of Christ, moving us to love one another. And we still have that mission today. The Second Vatican Council talked about how Christians have the task to to perfect the temporal order with the mm-hmm. spirit of the gospel. And that's our task as American Catholics. We're not, there's involvement in politics or whatever, but our primary thing, whatever party someone belongs to or if one is independent, is to bring the leaven of the gospel to society. And when society isn't founded in virtue and that, it's really dangerous. And we see the polarization in our society today. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a mission, as we celebrate the 250th anniversary, to really help to perfect the temporal order as the Second Vatican Council taught.
And the prayer is just so, so powerful, and we can't minimize or mitigate that, because it's just, we don't realize sometimes, I think, the power of prayer and people coming together as a nation to pray, especially a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So this image, give us a history of this image. We know it's from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Tell us a little bit more about the image and how it was handed on to the church over the centuries.
Yes, of course, we know the famous apparitions of the Sacred Heart to Saint Margaret Mary. You know, it's interesting you bring up images. There are various images of the Sacred Heart. There's statues, there's paintings, mm-hmm. there's mosaics, and I guess we all have our own, favorite images. My favorite is an image of the Sacred Heart that I used to pray before when I was a student in Rome in the Jesuit Church of the Gesù. And, of course, the Jesuits were an order that really propagated devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that image, where Jesus is actually holding out his heart to
yeah.
us,
mm-hmm.
is probably my favorite image. So I think people can choose, what image touches them the most. And there's some more contemporary images as well. But it really, whatever really touches our hearts, because it's an image of the infinite love that Jesus has for every one of us. The whole idea is to rekindle the fire of that love within us and in consecrating our nation to rekindle the fire of charity within Catholics. So the image is really a way for us to move our hearts and then to move us to the works of mercy and acts of love for our neighbor.
Do we have a date, Your Excellency, as to when the prayers and the tools that would be made available to Catholics around the country, will they be available on the website? How will they be distributed?
Yes. I have to... mentioned that when I was elected secretary of the conference in November, mm-hmm. I also was replaced as chair of the Committee on Religious Liberty, which I didn't realize that would happen. But so it's now. So anyhow, yeah. So Archbishop Alex Sample was elected, and he's the Archbishop everyone probably knows.
He's amazing.
Portland,
he's formerly from my home state of Michigan. Just saying, right? Yep. Wonderful man of God.
Mm-hmm. He is. So he'll be leading this. I don't know the timeline as far as the materials are prepared, when they will be posted, mm-hmm. and how that they will be distributed. But normally it's through the communication channels of the USCCB.
Sure.
It goes out to all bishops and dioceses. But I really think it would be the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're already hard at work.
You're excited about this, though. I can hear it in your voice. You're excited about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I want to mention one other thing that we're
sure.
doing, that the committee's doing, is it's preparing videos of Catholics throughout our history who really contributed to our nation by their, in various ways, various fields.
Wow.
So some of them are saints. You can think of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton or
sure.
St. John Neumann, but some are blessed. So it'll be highlighting Catholics who've really had an impact on for good in our nation. I think that's good, too. I love history, and I think sometimes it is good for us to look at the example of holy men and women in our country, Catholics who have contributed to the welfare of the United States.
Yeah, what a great idea. So when will those videos be available? Do we know?
That's also in Archbishop Sample's hands.
All right, well, he's going to be next. But I think this is so exciting to have all this coming out. And I think right this time of year, really helping us, and we're in Advent right now, focusing on Jesus and focusing on the coming of the Lord. And we think about, we anticipate, of course, we always sometimes, so typical Americans, we think ahead of the game. But if you think about all the grace or excellency, sometimes we forget that, the grace that comes from these types of devotions, right?
Exactly. And really, what a great season of prayer. You know, it can be a challenge because we're all really busy getting ready for Christmas. And I always complain that Advent is too short.
Too short,
it just seems to fly by. But I love the season of Advent. It's a time of quiet joy. But we need to find those moments of silence and time to prayer, for prayer, even, you know, daily mass, meditating on the beautiful readings of Advent, the daily readings. There's the Holy Rosary. And then we have great feasts during Advent. And who's better, who better to look to in to have that spirit of Advent than the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
And of course, she is under the title of the Immaculate Conception, the patroness of the United States, and by the way, also the patroness of my diocese, and we'll be celebrating that on December 8th, and then just a few days later, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So
right.
It's a beautiful Marian season, and Mary is the example of us of pondering the mystery of her Son in our hearts.
What else can we do? Because I love that word ponder, and I love that word reflect. I think of ponder, I think of Our Lady, because we see that she pondered these things in her heart more than once in Scripture at various very important times in her life and our Lord's life. But what else do you, as a bishop, Your Excellency, advise your people to do? To really, even the Pope was talking about finding some quiet time when he spoke to the young people last night, telling them, don't be afraid of the quiet, you know, don't be afraid of the peace. The Lord comes to us in the silence, as it says in 1 Kings. But what kind of advice would you give, not only to your own people, but to other Catholics listening this morning, for how to slow down and really embrace this season of reflection and pondering?
I think, great question. I think it really has to be very intentional. In other words, and I said this when I was preaching here in my diocese, that we get caught up in the busyness of the season. It's important at the beginning of Advent to really, like, make a, I know we talk about New Year's resolutions. Well, this is a new liturgical year, but to mm-hmm. kind of make that resolution a serious resolution that of what we're going to do in preparation for Christmas. I gave some practical examples, you know, definitely taking that time of silence each day. And that might vary according to one's state in life and when they can find that quiet time. I think of the young parents, like my nieces, and they're trying to manage everything, and yet, you know, to maybe get up before the kids and have that time. But and another thing I've said to everyone, make sure, it's just important, go to confession during Advent.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. what better way? You know, it's all about preparing our souls. You know, not just preparing, you know, decorations and gifts and all that. They're good things, obviously. But, you know, most important, preparing our souls. I think that's why, isn't it interesting how Advent begins with looking at the end, at the second coming of Christ?
Mm.
And in a way, I think the best way to prepare for the celebration of the first coming of Christ at Christmas is to prepare for his second coming.
Yeah.
And that means being ready, and are we ready to meet the Lord at the moment of our death, at the moment of his second coming, and how do we do that? I think the sacrament of reconciliation is vital for that.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And sometimes, I mean, I know that we are required to go to confession at least once a year as Catholics, but certainly I would recommend, my spiritual director recommends every month if possible, maybe every 2 months, or if it depends on your you know, personal need or whatnot or desire, but at least to get there several times a year rather than just meeting the, you know, obligatory once a year, or and even with Mass, right? I mean, obviously we are required to go to Mass every week, but why miss out if you have access to the source and summit of the faith more than once a week? It's so awesome, especially if you go during the week. There's a little bit more, I don't know, it's just really, I think, very, not that it's not peaceful on the weekends, but it's just a different feeling when you go to Mass, daily Mass during the week.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more quiet,
yeah.
I think. You know, the other thing about confession, you know, we talked about You and I both talked about how we learned devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus when we were kids. Another thing I learned as a child is we always went to confession once a month. Mm. I mean, I grew up that, you know, that was just the custom. And, of course, there were longer lines for confession at that time. But some of those customs really, you know, they stay with us, you know, and they're very beautiful. I can think of a number of customs that have stayed with me throughout my life. And I'd like children and young people today to have that gift of, you know, those things that we learned years ago. They're not outdated, you know.
They're timeless. Timeless, evergreen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Your Excellency, we appreciate your time. We know how busy you must be with all of your different responsibilities, especially as a shepherd of the beautiful Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend. You have a peaceful Advent, and we're going to be catching up with you soon. I know I have to call Bishop Sample, but we're going to have you back on, too, because I know you're still very involved in the Bishop's Conference and are doing great things in the Diocese of Fort Wayne and South Bend. Can you close us with a prayer before we leave?
Be happy to. Thank you very much, Teresa. Thanks for your show, too. It's really an excellent show. I enjoy it.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we thank you for all of your blessings, especially for the gift of your love revealed to us in the Sacred Heart of your Son, Jesus. We ask you to strengthen us in our belief that in your love, and to help us always to abide in your love, and bless our nation as we prepare to consecrate it to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, your Son. We ask this all through him, through Christ, who is our Lord and our King. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Your Excellency. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. Stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in to the first hour of Catholic Connection on a Tuesday, December 2nd, the first week of Advent 2025. And don't forget, as Tom Price mentioned, there is a great way to find out about all of our Advent programming for radio, which began, of course, over the weekend as we opened the season of Advent for 2025. All you need to do, and really this is for all of our programming, but for specific radio programming on Advent, EWTN.com/radio, and then go to schedules and you'll see it there. So again, it's all very concisely put together for you. You don't have to go searching around all over the place. EWTN.com/radio, and then the schedule. So it'll be a great opportunity for you to pick and choose to what you would like to listen. And there's so many great programs, as Tom mentioned. And we're also going to have Tom on as we get closer to Christmas, because we also have prepared special Christmas programming for you, which is continuing, but we'll give you an update on that in the coming weeks. Okay, coming up in the second hour of Catholic Connection on EWTN's Radio Extra during the 2 Cents segment, talking a little bit more about Advent and seeing what the Holy Father had to say about it to the young people. It wasn't a direct Advent message, but his beautiful comments to the young people reflect the importance of this season, and of speaking to God and of listening to God, which is the most important, right? We have to hear from God as opposed to just always asking him to do things for us. Not that he doesn't want us to pray, but he also wants us to listen. And then we're going to be doing our Newman Guide News on a Tuesday, looking at the big educational stories from 2025. All that coming up next on the second hour of Catholic Connection here on EWTN. It'll be EWTN Radio Extra in about 4 minutes.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday in the second hour of Catholic Connection here on EWTN Radio Extra. We so appreciate your listenership. Hope all is well with you. Coming up in the second hour of CC with TT, we are going to be talking Lent and education. So I wanted to focus, as I mentioned, if you're listening to the first hour of CC, I wanted to focus on some beautiful comments from the Holy Father to the young people about listening to God in the quiet. Now, he didn't give a talk specifically about Advent, But many of his messages, especially telling them to concentrate on peace and to keep a copy of St. Francis's Prayer for Peace, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, close to them, and talking about listening for God, it was really beautiful, and I think we can all relate to it, even though he was speaking with young people. So we'll take a look at that and some other scripture verses regarding listening to God and for God, both. And then in the second part of Catholic Connection, starting at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined, as we always are, by Kelly Solomon, and she is with the Cardinal Newman Society, and we are going to talk about the big education stories of 2025. Now, it's amazing to me that we're already here at this point, that we're in the month of December, that we are in the Advent season, that we're looking back at the past year. I don't know about you, but it just seems like 2025, and maybe it's just that I'm getting older, that's a gift, thank you God, that it just seems to go by more quickly. And that's why I think we need to revisit this whole idea of Advent more and more as we go through this season, because before we know it, brothers and sisters, it's going to be Christmas Eve. And you're going to look back, if you've been like me in the past, and say, where have I been all these weeks? I could have had a V8. I could have slowed down. I could have listened to some special programming on EW10. I could have signed up for Father Joseph Mary Wolfe's beautiful Advent retreat that he's doing on EWTN Learn. That's another great resource. You know, and you'll regret it. Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. So don't let this time go by without really, as the bishop said in the first hour, Bishop Rhodes from Fort Wayne, South Bend, really understanding the importance of why the church gives us this beautiful season. And the cycle of the church, her teachings, her liturgical seasons, you know, it's just such a beautiful thing that we are given by the church. And are we going according to the seasons of the world or the seasons of our faith? If you look at the world, you would already have had your decorations up by 4th of July. I mean, let's think about this. The United States, you literally start seeing, well, you start seeing back to school items in June when the kids have just gotten out of school. And then comes 4th of July. And sometimes at the same, when you see 4th of July, you see Halloween, but then you also start to see Christmas. And we can get very caught up in that. It's almost somewhat natural because we're bombarded with those messages, as Tom Price was saying in the first hour of the program, every single day. But we're just starting Advent. It's not too late. So what are you going to do differently this Advent season? And we'll discuss with some advice from the Holy Father and from the Bible, as in basic instructions before leaving Earth, as I like to say. Alrighty then, the National Weather Service has some updates on the weather for us this morning. They still say there's a winter storm that's coming, and this is for the East Coast. In other parts of the country, we'll see some other crazy weather. So we have a storm system bringing a variety of hazards to the eastern U.S. They're calling for wintry precipitation that's expected from the central Appalachians to the northeast. Heavy snow expected for interior New England and the North American Mid-Atlantic through tonight. And icing will continue. It sounds like they're icing a cake, but the icing they're talking about. The language is kind of funny, isn't it, sometimes with the weather forecast? I don't write the weather forecasts. I just read them from the National Weather Service. Anyway, I just think they're rather entertaining at times. Icing will continue in the Appalachians this morning. And on the south side of that system, we have heavy rain and thunderstorms that will continue across the southeast. So there is some rough weather coming. We also have an update on that in the news this morning, okay? Do hope you can stay tuned for the next hour of Catholic Connection. Thanks for tuning in. We so appreciate your listenership here at EWTN's Radio Extra and beyond. It is 4 minutes past the hour now. Let's see what's happening on a Tuesday morning. Well, for his last event on the first full day in Lebanon, the Holy Father meeting with young people in an area northeast of Beirut. The event, given the size of the crowd with some 15,000 attending, was described as a mini World Youth Day, and it began with the testimonies of volunteers and young people before two others asked the Holy Father more questions. He reminded all the young people they are present and the future, and that they are the ones who can change the course of history. He said evil is not the antidote to evil, but rather the answer is love. He said the witness of the testimonies of the young people are prophetic. They're prophecies of a new future that will be ushered in through reconciliation and mutual help.
Lebanon's history is interwoven with glorious moments, but it is also marked by deep wounds that are slow to heal. These wounds have causes that transcend national borders and are intertwined with very complex social and political dynamics. Dear young people, perhaps you regret inheriting a world torn apart by wars and disfigured by social injustice. Yet there is hope, and there is hope within you. You have a gift that many times we adults seem to have lost. You have hope. You have time. You have more time to dream, to plan, and to do good.
Holy Father then reminding the young people of the examples of Saints Pierre Giorgio Frassati, Carlo Acutis, and the many Lebanese saints such as Saint Rafka, Blessed Yaqub al-Haddad, and Saint Charbel. In a world, he said, overwhelmed with distractions, and we'll be talking about this in the 2 Cents segment coming up, the Holy Father encouraging the young people to take time each day to close your eyes and look only at God. Though he may seem quiet, he said, God speaks to those who look for him in the silence. Now, closing, the Holy Father highlighting the beauty that many young people carry a rosary with them, urging them also to keep the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, in their hearts and minds to help keep Christians' enthusiasms alive within them. And kicking off his third day in Lebanon and the final day of the journey, the Holy Father spent this morning visiting La Croix Hospital, one of the largest mental disability hospitals in the Middle East. Founded in 1919 by Blessed Father Jacques Haddad, it was later converted into a psychiatric hospital in 1937 and then a hospital for people with mental disabilities in 1951. Reflecting on the founding of the hospital, Vatican News says the Holy Father recalled Father Jacques as a tireless apostle of charity who's remembered for the holiness of life that showed especially through his love for the poor and the suffering. He did found the Franciscan Sisters of the Cross, who continue the work and caring in the hospital, and Pope Leo thanked the sisters and the entire hospital staff for their dedication. Before taking off from Rome, or for Rome at Beirut's airport, he concluded his apostolic journey to Turkey and Lebanon, calling for dialogue, fraternity, and reconciliation across the Middle East, expressing the hope that those who currently consider themselves enemies may embrace a spirit of fraternity and commitment to peace. The Pope is on his way, by the way, to Rome. His scheduled arrival is, well, just about now, shortly after 4 p.m. Rome time. In other news this morning, Monica Nelson tells us the second National Guard member shot near the White House last week is showing signs of improvement.
The governor of West Virginia confirmed Monday that Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf is now out of a medically induced coma. The suspect in the shooting is an Afghan national who worked with U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He was injured in the incident and remains hospitalized, facing first-degree murder and other related charges for the death of Wolf's colleague, Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom. I'm Monica Nelson.
In California, Stockton's mayor thinks gang violence is behind Saturday's shooting that left 4 people dead and another 11 injured at a children's birthday party. The suspects so far have not been caught, but the mayor told a local TV station she thinks people are afraid to talk about gang members.
We know that people know. I've received calls from people that say, oh, but I don't want my name mentioned. And I said, come on, you got to do the right thing. You have to tell, you know, the authorities what you know.
Law enforcement officials, though, have stopped short of calling it a gang killing, but they do say it was targeted. One of the 4 people who were killed on Saturday night, 3 of them were children. One of the 11 injured survivors is also a child. That child is still in critical condition. The Texas Education Commissioner has been meeting with leaders of Turning Point USA in an effort to create more chapters in the state's high schools. Conservatives saying this would go a long way toward fighting against liberal bias in their schools.
We need kids to think about weighing all sides of the argument so that they can come up with the best answers.
That's Sherry Sylvester with the Texas Public Policy Foundation, who says this will in turn create more well-informed adults.
If something doesn't feel right to you, you examine why that is and you make the person you're arguing with explain to you.
Sylvester adding, this will teach children to question what liberal teachers have been feeding them for years. Also in Texas, there are dozens of new laws going into effect this week, including one called the Bathroom Bill. It's the Texas Women's Privacy Act, which conservatives have been pushing for several years.
Worked on for about the last 8 years, so definitely a huge victory.
Mary Elizabeth Castle with Texas Value says a bill slaps limits on women's restrooms and locker rooms, restricting them based on biological sex. Fines begin at $25,000, going all the way up to $125,000. A federal appeals court has ruled that President Trump's former personal lawyer, Alina Habba, is unlawfully serving as U.S. Attorney for New Jersey. A lower court's findings upheld by a panel of three judges yesterday. The panel saying the government theory that she can serve as the de facto U.S. attorney indefinitely is so broad that it bypasses a constitutional process entirely. Habba was named interim U.S. attorney for New Jersey earlier this year, an appointment that expired after 120 days. The case, though, may end up going to the Supreme Court. And speaking of the Supreme Court, I heard arguments Monday in a case over music piracy that could have a major impact on internet users. Attorney Joshua Rosenkrantz is representing Cox Communications. That's the largest private broadband company in the country. He started off with how the case got to the high court.
The Fourth Circuit held that a provider of basic communications infrastructure to millions of homes and businesses can be held liable because it did not kick enough accused infringers off the internet.
Record companies accusing Cox of not taking responsible steps to prevent illegal music distribution. The court is now weighing how much liability internet service providers have for piracy carried out over their networks. Cox arguing that if the standard is too strict, it would have no choice but to disconnect many homes, hospitals, hotels, and more, simply because of an accusation against one user at a specific IP address. And we mentioned the weather earlier. Well, Chicago, St. Louis, and Detroit could get even more snow after a Thanksgiving weekend storm that smacked the Midwest.
The weekend winter wallop that buried the Midwest now wreaking havoc on post-holiday travel.
Sat there for about 4 or 5 hours, and then they said they just couldn't make it out.
I missed my kids and my husband back home in South Carolina.
At Chicago's O'Hare Sunday, more than 1,700 flights delayed.
And reporter Maggie Vespa tells us 3 to 5 inches of snow could also fall in an area from northern Missouri to northern Illinois. Today, the Mid-Atlantic and the New England regions will see a wintry mix, as we mentioned in the forecast, of rain with ice likely in the mountain areas. And finally, Cyber Monday's reputation as one of the largest online shopping days of the year remains intact. Adobe Analytics was expecting total online spending to top $14 billion. You heard correctly, B as in boy. And by yesterday evening, it had already surpassed $9 billion. With that in the rearview mirror, today is Giving Tuesday, the charitable follow-up to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. The event launched in 2012, asking people to give money, time, or support to any number of causes, communities, and nonprofits. We'll be right back on a Tuesday to talk more about Advent. Stay tuned. You're listening to EWTN's Radio Extra. Fancy Hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Tuesday, December 2nd. I know you don't have a lot of time and we're bombarding you with a lot of resources. We're just trying to get you prepared for Advent. I mean, hopefully we're not doing the opposite and overwhelming you, but it's just, I find it helpful to have choices. And so we know that, for example, as Tom Price mentioned in the first hour of the program, if you just go again to EWTN.com/radio and then go to schedules, you will see all the great programming we have on EWTM Radio, specifically for this period of Advent. And what's so beautiful about these varieties of various shows and events is they're very peaceful and they're very reflective. So you have different groups of priests that are reflecting on different readings for Advent, or you have different choral groups that are singing in Advent, whether it be the wonderful Benedictine sisters who do Advent at Ephesus or other selections. These are sources that are going to help quiet you down. And the Holy Father touched on this in his beautiful address to the young people. And this was last night. And this was basically northeast of Beirut. And it's in the area that's pretty much the Catholic capital of that part of, I mean, of Lebanon, really. It's a beautiful location. And he starts out the talk by saying, "Peace be with you." And he heard from young people. They had the opportunity to ask him questions. And what I thought was really neat, if you heard it in our newscast earlier, where he talked about the importance of them to take time each day to close your eyes and look only at God. Though he may seem quiet, the Pope said, God speaks to those who look for him in the silence. And I often think of that reading from 1 Kings where you hear about God doesn't come in the wind, he doesn't come in the earthquake, he doesn't come in the storm. He comes in the silence and the still small voice. And how many times do we allow for silence in our lives in general? But of course, always in this period of Advent, it's difficult because, as Tom Price was saying earlier, constantly things are being thrown at us. And in addition to all the scheduling and all the events and the things with the kids at school or our grandkids or shopping or cooking or whatever we're doing, traveling, then you have the message of the world that tells us that's what's important. You have to get all of that done when the very first thing we need to do is to do exactly what the Pope is telling the young people, to take time each day to close your eyes and look only at God. I mean, in the first hour of the program, we also spoke with Bishop Rhodes. He was talking about the consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the country, which will take place next year on the country's 250th anniversary. And this could be something that we could use, maybe to pick a holy image and to look at that image and reflect and ponder and meditate upon it. What does the image of Jesus or the Holy Family or the Blessed Mother or a particular saint, what does that do for us? How does that help us settle our souls and really concentrate on what's happening in the liturgical year in this very, very beautiful season of anticipation and waiting? So I thought we would play a little bit more of the Holy Father's message to the young people. Again, this specifically was not an Advent talk that he gave. It was more a talk of encouragement in terms of they're in a part of the world that is always filled with so much strife and conflict. And in many ways, we are too. It may not be as large as something going on in the Middle East in countries that have been so war-torn as Lebanon, but there are our own conflicts within our families or maybe in the workplace or maybe with someone else we know. Maybe we've lost a friendship and there's other issues. So there's always all kinds of issues going on in our lives. How do we balance that out with the beauty of the faith that really offers us so many opportunities to, again, as the Holy Father said, close our eyes and look only at God? Let's take a listen to some of the other comments Holy Father made to the young people last night.
His eyes are always depicted as closed, as if veiling an infinitely greater mystery. Through the eyes of Saint Charbel, which were closed in order to see God more clearly, we continue to perceive God's light with greater clarity. The song dedicated to him is beautiful. O you who sleep, and whose eyes are light for hours, on your eyelids a grain of incense has blossomed. Dear young people, may the divine light also shine on your eyes, and may the incense of prayer blossom forth. In a world of distractions and vanity, take time each day to close your eyes and look only to God. He sometimes seems silent or absent, but he reveals himself to those who seek him in silence. As you strive to do good, I ask you to be contemplatives like Saint Charbel by praying, reading sacred scripture, participating in Holy Mass, and spending time in adoration. Pope Benedict XVI said to the Christians of the Levant, I encourage you to cultivate a true and lasting friendship with Jesus through the power of prayer. My dear friends, Mary, the Mother of God and our Mother, shines forth among all the saints as the most holy. Many young people carry a rosary with them at all times, either in their pocket, on the wrist, or around their neck. How beautiful it is to look at Jesus through the eyes of Mary's heart. Even from here, where we are right now, How sweet it is to lift our gaze to Our Lady of Lebanon with hope and trust. Dear young people, I would like to leave you with a simple and beautiful prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, unity. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is error, truth. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is sadness, joy. Where there is darkness, light. May this prayer keep the joy of the gospel and Christian enthusiasm alive in your hearts. Enthusiasm means having God in your soul. When the Lord dwells in us, the hope he gives us bears fruit in the world. In fact, hope is a poor virtue because it presents itself empty-handed. Its hands are always free to open doors that seem to be closed due to fatigue, pain, or disappointment. The Lord will always be with you, and you can be assured of the support of the whole church in the decisive challenges in your lives. And in the history of your beloved country, I entrust you to the protection of the Mother of God, Our Lady, who from the summit of this mountain looks upon this new blossoming. Young people of Lebanon, grow strong like the cedars and make the world blossom with hope.
Wow. And I love the way he ends this. He says, grazie a tutti, which means thank you all, and then shukran. I know that means thank you as well for my time that I spent in the Holy Land and the many pilgrimages I've done with my friend Steve Ray. I mean, this whole talk, even though it was to the young people and giving them encouragement, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, in a very, very difficult situation in which they find themselves in the country of Lebanon, this is something that can definitely be applied to Advent in so many different ways. In a world of distractions and vanity, take time each day to close your eyes and look only to God. He sometimes seems silent or absent, but he reveals himself to those who seek him in silence. What a great way to start Advent with these beautiful words of the Holy Father to young people, which is really to all of us, especially at this time of year. We'll be right back. Young people, someone who works with them and helps them and is a young person herself, our friend Kelly Solomon joins us on Tuesdays for our Newman Guide News. And Kelly, of course, is the Vice President of Newman Guide Programs in the Cardinal Newman Society. And Kelly, I couldn't help but think of you and your great work with the Cardinal Newman Society, listening to the Holy Father speak to the young people in Beirut yesterday. What a beautiful address. And we ran part of it this morning, and he was talking to them about being filled with hope. And he mentioned, which we're going to be talking about because we're looking at the big stories of this past year, he mentioned the saints, Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati, which I thought was awesome.
That's awesome. Yes, I mean, what an exciting year we've had in Catholic education, Teresa, and in the education space overall. And we've talked about so many big stories over the course of this year, and I thought it would be fun. This is December 2025. Here we are. I thought it would be fun to look back at some of the big highs and lows in Catholic education over 2025.
Great idea. And speaking of saints and Pope Leo, we want to start out with the new saints inspiring young Catholics. So let's look at that story first.
Yes. You know, it's hard to boil down the highs. There were actually so many great things happening in Catholic education this year. You know, parochial schools returning to their roots, the growth in Catholic homeschooling, hybrid models, Newman Guide colleges. But I think one of the most exciting stories is that young people now have two new inspiring saints to look up to, Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. And as young men themselves, they learned how to strive for holiness. And what a great example they are for young people today. I especially love Carlo's emphasis on devotion to the Eucharist. As you know, many young people, those second graders are preparing for their first communions this year. Carlo Acutis, what a great example they can learn about his Eucharistic miracles. And Catholic educators everywhere should remember that the Eucharist is the heart of Catholic education. And our whole goal in Catholic education is to lead students closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at a beautiful blog that was posted on your website, and this is by Adam Cassandra, and he talks about what, you know, has been done with the great work of Carlo Acutis in terms of helping us understand Eucharistic miracles. It says, between 2007 and 2015, the Cardinal Newman Society reaching hundreds of students with Acutis' exhibits as part of an effort to encourage students' devotion to the Eucharist and especially the practice of the Eucharistic adoration. And students gave stirring testimonies about how the exhibit impacted them on their faith journey. One student writing, "It was a beautiful opportunity to be able to see a display about so many Eucharistic miracles. Some people don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, so I look forward to sharing some of the things I read in hopes that they will someday fully embrace the truth. These miracles are amazing and beyond our comprehension, but knowing that the Eucharist really is the flesh and blood of Jesus should make us want to run to Mass in adoration. After all, a wonderful King awaits us." Wow. This is from one student giving a testimony on the Eucharistic exhibit that was put together by Carlo Acutis, one of our new saints. Kelly, awesome.
It is so awesome. And, you know, Cardinal Newman, we had the great honor of distributing this Eucharistic miracle exhibit for many years. I actually worked in our headquarters when we were shipping it out and helped package them up and ship them out to Catholic schools across the country that displayed them. Now it's available online. Anyone can request it and show it at their school or their college. And I think it's just a great way of inspiring deeper devotion to the Eucharist as you hear these amazing, you know, miraculous stories with the Eucharist and great examples of ways that schools can increase the devotion among young people, can increase their Eucharistic literacy of understanding more about the Eucharist and, of course, their love for Jesus.
So how do you think St. Pier Giorgio Frassati has helped young people and is inspiring them today after his canonization?
You know, I love the stories about Pier Giorgio Frassati and how he built up a strong Catholic community and you know, brought his friends along to let's go for a hike and then let's pray a rosary together.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that happening at so many Newman Guide schools and colleges, especially as we, you know, face this very digital age of so much of community and interaction is now done online. There's nothing that can replace that in-person, face-to-face engagement that needs to happen in Catholic education, needs to happen among young Catholics. And I think that's one of the things that's drawing more students than ever to those schools and colleges and that we recommend in the Newman Guide because they see a vibrant student life. They see students who are gathering out in the quads and are having conversations together, who are playing volleyball, then are going over to the Adoration Chapel. You know, it's a very attractive and joyful life you see in so many of these places.
All right. Also on the highs hit parade, because we've separated these into highs and lows, and we'll be hitting a lot of these after the break as well. Such an exciting time for you at the Cardinal Newman Society, because Cardinal Newman being named a doctor of the church and a patron of Catholic education. How important is that?
Exactly. You know, who knew that 30 years ago when Cardinal Newman Society was named after St. John Henry Newman, that he would be beatified, then canonized, now named a doctor of the church and patron of Catholic education. I think it's so important because he was a huge advocate that the Catholic faith should influence every subject in a Catholic school and that there should be that integration of faith and reason. And I know our president, Patrick Riley, is very motivated to want to share more and more of St. John Henry Newman's vision for Catholic education with educators everywhere. And what a blessing that he's now a doctor of the church.
Did you see, because I know you're a Magnificat fan, as am I, did you see the reflection on Sunday from John Henry Newman? It was so good on Advent.
I missed that one. I'll have to go back and read it.
No, I was thinking about you in our interview. It was just so, so good. Okay. Then we also want to talk about in the highs section. I hope we can get through all these. If not, we're just going to have to continue the conversation next week. Pope Leo's new document, Drawing New Maps of Hope on Catholic Education.
Yes. So, you know, this was released on the 60th anniversary of Gravissimum Educationis, and I encourage our listeners to read Pope Leo's letter on drawing new maps of hope. Again, one of the main things that stood out to me was how to deal with the digital challenges of the age, and I thought he wrote some really encouraging lines about a Catholic university and school, you know, without vision, risk, solace, efficiency, technologies must serve the person, not replace them. And he has another beautiful line in here, again, dealing with how schools and colleges should deal with AI and technology and this screen obsession we see today. He says, no algorithm can replace what makes education human. Poetry, irony, love, art, imagination, the joy of discovery, and even education in error as an opportunity for growth. The decisive point is not technology, but the use we make of it.
Wow. What a great quote.
Absolutely. So the new saints and Pope Leo's letter on Catholic education, of course, had to make my top five highs list for Catholic education in 2025. Right. But it was hard to narrow down the rest.
Well, yeah, because as you mentioned, we also talked just a minute ago about Cardinal Newman being named Doctor of the Church. But I'm going to review this list before we take a break so folks know where we are. We're talking, of course, with Kelly Solomon for our Newman Guide News from the Cardinal Newman Society, looking at the highs and lows in terms of stories about education in 2025. Number one, that we already covered, New Saints Inspiring Young Catholics, Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. Also, Cardinal Newman being named Doctor of the Church. We also just mentioned Pope Leo's new document, Drawing New Maps of Hope. That was about Catholic education. All right, so number three, or actually technically number four in the hit parade, will be 23 states, the NCAA, and the U.S., and International Olympic and Paralympic Committees banning males from taking part in women's sports. Dr. Bill Thierfelder's beautiful legacy, 21 years as president at Belmont Abbey, and the Newman Guy Colleges are flourishing. We'll hit those few stories and we come back and then let you know what the lows are if we have time. If we don't, we'll do the lows another time. We'll be right back. I believe it's December, but we are looking back at the year of 2025 and the top educational stories, the highs and lows, what made news, good news and bad. Kelly Solomon joins us every Tuesday for Newman Guide News, and she is the Vice President of Newman Guide Programs, and she's with, of course, the Cardinal Newman Society, and she's done a great job of putting together the top stories, but there's so many we're trying to sift through, so hopefully we'll get through them all. If not, we'll continue the discussion next week. So our highs, which we discussed so far, New Saints, Carlo and Pier Giorgio, Pope Leo's document on education. And now I wanted to look at, we also mentioned Cardinal Newman being named a Doctor of the Church. Let's take this next one, because this is so huge, Kelly, and so important. States, the NCAA, and the U.S. International Olympic and Paralympic Committees banning males from taking part in women's sports. And hopefully we'll get through to Dr. Bill's legacy and also how Newman Guy Colleges are flourishing for the highs. So let's take a look back at all these different events regarding this whole situation with the trans ideology that's been affecting our schools. This was number three on your highs list for stories that were broken this year.
Yes. You know, this is an issue that's near and dear to my heart. As you know, Teresa, I played college sports, and so I'm passionate about keeping men out of women's sports. And this common sense policy has now, you know, really expanded into 23 states, NCAA, and the Olympics over the last several years. So this is something we've done on our religious liberty side of our work here at Cardinal Newman Society, is tracking, you know, all of the different states and their laws on this issue. And, you know, I'm just so glad to see the progress we've made on this issue. And you know, Catholic schools and colleges, again, need to lead on this issue. Not only should we keep men out of women's sports, but we should be treating sports as an opportunity to grow in virtue, that it should be about forming the whole person in mind, body, and soul as they compete on their sports teams. And I think that, again, Newman Guide schools and colleges, so many examples of them doing this really well, that sports can actually be a vehicle for virtue development and can help mm-hmm. students to learn how to strive for excellence and then learn how to strive for excellence in all areas of their life and be able to glorify God through their sport. And things like the, you know, men participating in women's sports, to really ruin any formational aspects of sports if you let something like this take over sports.
Yeah, that's why I think we know that this is demonic, because think about it. Everything you just mentioned, that's why people, one of the big reasons, not just for competition and for winning a race or winning a swimming meet or whatever, or for going on and getting a college scholarship, much of it is with personal development and courage and being a team player and working with people. And yet you get this type of an issue, which is, I still can't even wrap my mind around the fact that we talk about men being in women's sports. And what happens? Well, the women are going to go into protective mode because they realize that they're competing against someone whom they can't compete. And the whole thing gets turned upside down. That's why talking about this is so crucial. So I really appreciate you putting this in the highs that we have 23 states, the NCAA, and the U.S. and International Olympic and Paralympic Committees banning males from taking part in women's sports. Okay, another good news story, and we had such fun with this interview. Dr. Bill Thierfelder's legacy, 21 years as president of Belmont Abbey College. He was so great to speak with again.
He was wonderful to have on, and what a blessing he's been to Belmont Abbey College, one of the faithful Catholic colleges we recommend in the Newman Guide. Right from when he got on campus, he built an adoration chapel on campus. He opened Miravia, the home for unwed single mothers from all over the country to be able to finish their college degree while raising their child. He has championed really what we were just talking about the last point, the integration of faith and athletics. He is a former Olympian himself and was passionate about pushing coaches and athletes to strive for excellence and to pursue that integration of sport and faith. And so what a great champion he's been in Catholic education. We'll certainly miss him as president of Belmont Abbey, but I know he'll be staying on in some ways to keep teaching and being involved in the Catholic education space.
Yeah, I hope so, because he's fantastic. Okay, another good news story. Newman Guy colleges flourish and many boast record enrollments, which is awesome for 2025-2026.
Yes. I think we're in the year of hope, and what a hopeful story that Newman Guy colleges are flourishing when many colleges are closing. There's fewer students going to college because of the demographic cliff where there are fewer college-age students than there have been in previous years because of the declining marriage and birth rate in our country. Many students have opted out of college after the pandemic, and it's unclear whether those post-pandemic numbers, or those pre-pandemic numbers, will return. So with all of these challenges, Newman Guy colleges are flourishing, and I think it's because they're offering an education that's different than what you're going to find at a secular college or most Catholic colleges. They're forming people in faith, intelligence, and virtue. And in this culture that's increasingly hostile to Christian values, young Catholics need to know what they believe and why they believe it. That's why Ave Maria University, record undergraduate enrollment. Franciscan University of Steubenville, record undergraduate enrollment. Thomas Aquinas College reached capacity on its first campus, so they opened their second campus in Massachusetts. University of Mary in Bismarck, record and undergraduate enrollment. The list goes on and on. So this is a really great top story for me when looking at the education space.
Yeah, it's so encouraging. All right, so we've gone through all the highs, which is awesome. So we're doing highs and lows, educational stories of 2025, thanks to Kelly Solomon, our guest every Tuesday, for our Newman Guide News from the Cardinal Newman Society. Okay, let's review the highs again, Kelly. New saints to inspire young Catholics, Carlo Acutis and Pier George Vasari. Cardinal Newman being named Doctor of the Church, Pope Leo's document on education. The states, the NCAA and other athletic organizations banning males from taking part in women's sports, thanks be to God. The beautiful story and the testimony of Dr. Bill Thierfelder's legacy at Belmont Abbey College, and what you just mentioned, Newman Guy College's flourishing and many boasting record enrollments. Another great story. Not enrollments, but enrollments. Excuse me about that. Enrollments in 2025-26. Okay, so the lows, there are several of them. Let's review before we get into each one. I don't know if we'll have time for everything, but we'll do our best. If not, again, as we mentioned, we'll pick it up next week. Emily Torres, what she found at a quote-unquote Catholic college will shock you. That was amazing in terms of how she just stood her ground and eventually becomes an apologist for Catholic Answers. What a story.
Yeah.
University of Scranton hiring Bob Casey Jr. as a student mentor. Notre Dame continuing to allow porn on campus Wi-Fi despite student petitions. And St. Mary's College at Notre Dame, Indiana, choosing a doctor, a self-professed Catholic, and the former president of Ireland who supported the repeal of Ireland's pro-life amendment in 2018 as a commencement speaker. Okay, so let's start with Emily Torres. Her story was incredible in terms of what she faced, but also how she stood up to the people that were really exposing how they really weren't Catholic at all at a so-called Catholic school.
Yes. You know, Cardinal Newman said we have a full podcast interview, 45 minutes with Emily Torres, to talk about this young girl who became Catholic in high school, was seeking out a Catholic college. She ended up at Loyola University Chicago, and she ended up fighting for her Catholic faith during her entire time on campus. She protested the drag shows on campus. She faced hostility as she set up pro-life tables. Her biology teacher told her sex is a social construct. And one of the administrators on campus essentially told her this school does not teach that the Catholic faith is true.
Sure.
Right. You go off to a Catholic college and expect it to be upholding the faith, especially as a recent convert. And she fought for the faith the whole time she was there on campus. And I want, you know, every Catholic family in the country to hear her story so that they can know that they need to really be discerning and choosing education.
Is that testimony, that interview, still available on your website? Because I think it's a great resource for people.
It is. If you go to Cardinal Newman Society podcast, available on all main podcast platforms, my colleague Kevin Murphy interviews Emily Torres, I believe in a two-part series, and the whole thing is worth listening to hear about the struggle she went through. And thanks be to God, like you said, Teresa, she kept her faith. Now she's an apologist for Catholic Answers. But I don't think, you know, I think she's an exceptional student. I think she's someone who was exceptional in the way she was able to face this. I think many students would have been very discouraged and may have been led wayward or even lost their faith in a similar situation of everything she had to go through.
Well, imagine the stress. I mean, first of all, she's a convert, and then she's coming into what she thinks is a Catholic school. She's so excited about the faith and thinks she's going to find all these people, you know, going to Mass together and having this great Catholic life on a Catholic school campus. And then this happens, but her whole college career is one of defending the faith. But again, it did benefit her well because she's doing terrifically now. But as you mentioned, it's such an important story because this is what many Catholic students face, even at Catholic, so-called Catholic schools, and people need to listen to her testimony. Okay, probably only time for one more. Let's go to the University of Scranton, shall we, and talk about Bob Casey Jr. being hired as a student mentor.
Yes. You know, again, another really disappointing choice of a Catholic college. You could choose a Catholic mentor for a student who, you know, publicly proclaim the teachings of the faith and can be a role model to students. Whereas Senator Casey, on his last campaign for U.S. Senate in 2024, he had a whole endorsement from Reproductive Freedom for All. And he talked about in his quote about how, you know, he was, the difference between him and his opponent was that when Roe v. Wade was overturned, his opponent said it made him very happy. But he, Senator Casey, voted for the Women's Health Reproductive Act to restore the protections of Roe. I'm grateful for the support of Reproductive Freedom for All in this critical election. Together, we'll keep fighting to protect these critical rights for people across Pennsylvania. You know, so this senator who has voted and campaigned on a pro-abortion platform hired at a Jesuit university, right? What example is this setting for students? What message are you sending to students?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, too, about the University of Scranton, that whole area, because I know this, and I think I've told you this, my husband's family, my husband was born and raised in Scranton, and it's a very, very blue area, and trying to get people, especially Catholics, it's very much, even though it's in northeastern Pennsylvania, not really would be considered the Far East Coast, but it's such a blue area of the country, and it's Biden territory, and so the whole tradition there in Catholic, you know, in Catholic universities, Catholic schools, is they compartmentalize their faith. And we've had this discussion with so many family members over the years. And so this really is no surprise to me. The sad thing is, though, Kelly, is his father was not like this. His father was very pro-life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I believe he wrote a book on the lives of fighting for the lives of unborn children.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, my dear, we got through two of the lows. The good news is we got through all the highs. And so when we come back next week, God willing, we'll talk about Notre Dame, St. Mary's College, and then we're going to talk about the impact of the assassination of Charlie Kirk on Catholic education, which also is a big story. And then there's some other noteworthy stories that, you know, that we can also discuss. As you mentioned, Trump dismantling the education department and school choice funding increases. Enrollment in Catholic schools continues to decrease. And then AI and Catholic education. So we still have a lot to get through next week as we look at the big stories of 2025 for education. Great job, Kelly, as always, enjoying these segments with you so much. Kelly Solomon is a vice president of the Newman Guide Programs for the Cardinal Newman Society, and you can find all the great information, newmansociety.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday. So much for tuning in to Catholic Connection on a Tuesday, December 2nd, in the first week of Advent. Hope you enjoyed the second hour of CC. Do yourself a favor if you have time and go back and look at the Holy Father's speech that he gave to young people. Again, you know, Ace and I were talking about how even though it was not an Advent talk per se, when he was discussing being quiet and listening to God in the silence and seeking him in silence and praying the rosary and keeping that prayer of St. Francis, and to me, it was very Advent-based, and that's why I wanted to share the audio with you. And to me, and Ace was saying this also, people who have been in radio for a long time, especially Catholic media, to have an American Pope and to grab sound bites from him every single day, it's like I still can't wrap my mind around that. It's just amazing. He's so articulate, and he's so relatable. He's so easy to listen to. So anyway, I just thought that was beautiful. I hope you enjoyed it. But you can find the full talk of the Holy Father and all of his wonderful addresses during this apostolic journey that is ended because he's back in Rome now. You can go to Vatican.va, also, of course, Catholic News Agency, The Register, and EWTNnews.com. Also usually have hyperlinks in their stories about the Holy Father. And we'll talk more about the very, very profound journey of the Holy Father tomorrow with my sister, Joan Lewis, of course. She joins us on Wednesdays for her beautiful summary on Joan's Rome. And she does a beautiful blog by the same name, which you can find at wordpress.com. Plus, a little surprise from our friend Anthony DiStefano coming up on a Wednesday. Have a great Tuesday.